All right. Tonight's presenter, John Lang, has presented for us before, and this is my favorite kind of presenter, the ones that come to us and offer rather than us having to go to them and beg. John has presented to us in the past on OpenSUSE and on other topics, and tonight he's going to be speaking on something SUSE-related, but with a different twist. So I'm going to turn things over to John.
Thanks. All right. Well, first thing I want to say is I generally don't dress in colors quite this vibrant, but somebody gave me this shirt for free, and I thought, well, if I'm not going to wear it today, when will I ever wear it? So that's why I've got it on today. As a sidebar, I think it was also mentioned in the email, but OpenSUSE 11.2 just came out, which is what I'm running on this laptop. You won't see too much of it here. It's very similar to 11.1, but just so you know, that's what it's running on. The browser's running on. And I demoed some of the features of the, you know, this 3D desktop when I demoed 11.1. And, you know, so if you see anything cool, like, you know, some of the compits features and stuff like that, that's what you're seeing is 11.2 with compit. All right, so SUSE Studio is a project that, well, SUSE itself is supported by Novell. SUSE Studio is an offshoot of OpenSUSE, which, you know, it's obviously a sister project, not directly controlled by OpenSUSE. It's basically what it says here. You know, you can build an appliance or a custom Linux distro in just a few mouse clicks and customize it. And this is still in a closed beta format, so you have to have an invite to get an account, unfortunately. And I have a feeling, I was just mentioning to somebody else, that probably has to do with the fact that they need to build, if they were to open it up, you know, they would have to have quite an extensive architecture behind support it. And so they're probably just keeping it closed right now so that it's relatively responsible. I whined enough on one of the mailing lists. Someone finally sent me an invite. So I'm just logging in now, and I just happen to have a Google account, which is what I'm using for authentication. This was actually my biggest challenge, just remembering my Google password, because I never use that account for anything else other than this. So I've got a number of ones of appliances here that I've already built in the past. And so I'll probably fall back on those, do some of the demo. But we're going to actually build one from the scratch here. So I can either select, obviously, from one that I've previously built, but I'm just going to click on Create New Appliance. So the first screen you see here is a selection of basically starting points for your appliance. Being that this is still a beta and it's an OpenSUSE project, they're all either Novell or SUSE-related starting points. But in theory, this could be any starting point in the future if they open it up to any other distribution or platform. Or, well, obviously, it could be anything. So we're just going to pick, as a starting point, let's just say a GNOME desktop. Oh, look, they've added 11.2. That's brand new. That wasn't there before today, because I just checked this yesterday. I thought, oh, it'd be cool if they had 11.2 in there. Anyways, 11.2 is in here. We're going to start with, you know what, we'll do this more than once. I'll start with the just enough OS, just to give you an idea, your architecture, and we'll just leave the default name. So that's the only thing we have to select in the first screen is what our starting point is, what our architecture is. So I'll create the appliance. It's now going to take me to the second screen, which that's not the second screen. Oh, yes, okay. So it just gave me a little intro to my appliance. I'm sorry, I got off track there. So it's tabs along the top. There actually used to be next buttons all the way along. I'm adapting to the new look here. So it gives you the welcome page to your OS. So the next step is to go to the software tab and pick from the default. This section here, selected software, is what you get with the base template that we just selected, the just enough OS. So it's showing you what packages are going to be, and it's very, very, very basic. In this section here, it gives you a list of other packages and select from. And these are the packages that would normally be available as part of the OpenSUSE 11.2 install. So it's the standard OpenSUSE 11.2 packages available. And you can now click on any of these sections and add more packages. I'm just going to go through this once without picking anything new. All right, so right now we're just going to stick with the base stuff. All right, so the next stage would be we could customize what some of the basic network settings are and your default locale. You know, your time zone, you know, so it's just, yeah.
Out of Kokomo.
I can't remember if it's in Central, I think. And then some basic network settings, whether you want firewall enabled, default user account to create. So I've really just changed the time zone. So that's step two. But there's obviously a bunch more options here. So we can personalize the splash screen, color, what run level we're going to start at. We don't have MySQL installed. I don't have a desktop installed. How much memory we're going to give this machine. Some custom scripts. Okay, we'll come back to some of this in a second. Then there's overlay files. So you can add basically, well, you can see there, it's basically a tar up of a directory structure, which will automatically untar once the appliance. So if you wanted to do a stock build and then overwrite some stuff, or, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there. So really just a way of overlaying a directory structure, and you can add multiple ones. So it can be maybe user default home directories, or I don't know, use your imagination, but that's what that's there for. We can then build the image, and we have a few options there. So we can make a live USB, a live CD, a VMware, or like a DK image, or a Zen virtual image as well. In this phase of the demo, it doesn't really matter what I pick here. I'm just going to pick VMDK. Now I click on build, and so it's going to do the build for us. It's going to build the appliance, the selections we've made. So as amazing as it was to me, I don't hope you're amazed as well, but that's all there is to it. I mean, we've literally just built our own custom distribution. It's going through the build process here, which is really just creating the VMDK image, putting the packages, installing the packages on it. This small one here, depending on the load of the server, generally less than 5 minutes completed, we can start using it right away. So I'm just going to let this go for a second just to see if it, maybe it's only going to take like a minute and a half or something and can actually demo the one we've just built. Or if it's going to take too long, we'll revert back to the ones I built previously. So just a quick note here, this is apparently built on an architecture known as Key. And so that's, again, I think that's part of a SUSE project. So this is, I don't know enough about the underlying. Anyways, you can export this configuration, and you can run Kiwi locally, and then you can use it to generate images just from your local machine rather than the website. So I think SUSE Studio is essentially a web interface. Yeah, it's very similar to things like RPath and so on. Or, I mean, it's really the same concept.
Click.
Yeah. So that's one I haven't used. I tried RPath a few years ago when it, I guess, when it first came out, and I wasn't... It seemed like really hard to use at the time, and I haven't gone back to it, so I can't really compare it to too much. Okay, so once you finish the build, it's actually compressing it at the moment. I'm pretty sure while we're waiting, we can go, let's just take a look. So we can now test drive our appliance right through the web browser. So it blew up.
That's great.
I think I may try 11.1, but this is on a separate window, so let's... Okay, this is done. Let's just try it one more time now. It's done compressing. It's running a VM. Basically, it's firing it up in a VM and you're giving you a VMC connection. I think it was just because it was compressing the image. Okay, so there's the boot screen and there's the splash screen. I'm going to just hit escape here to get into something that looks more like. Okay, so it's VNC, so over the web. So a screen update speed. And it does some initial, sure if it's on this one or this one, but it may do some initial setup after it gets to the first boot. Like it may do some uncompressing of file disk images and stuff. So I have no idea. I think it's rude. So there's like a functional Linux system. There's not much. Okay, so it's hopefully you're convinced that's what we just did. Okay, so and you get like an hour to run the test drive, and then it'll automatically stop and kick you out. And it has networking support, but it's not externally accessible.
Yeah.
I think there is a way, though, to actually get it externally on the network, but I've never actually played with that. I would think that would be a bad idea. But
I'm guessing only networkable.
Did I leave it off? I thought it was DHCP by default. I didn't even look at it.
You said DHCP.
Oh.
VM. It said network.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's in here. Discover network saved.
Right, yeah. Outside the VM.
Okay, so this is the new one we just created. If you leave it for a certain amount of time, they'll delete your actual build, but your config stays on the system. So worst case scenario, you have to do that final step over again to remake the build. They just to keep space reasonable, they'll delete builds after a week, or I can't remember exactly what the timeout is. It still shows the same here. It's just when you click on it, if I went into here, back into my thing, when I went to here to build, there would be no download. Our test drive. None of these would be here. I have to repeat this process here. It may be gone. Right. Maybe deleted. Okay. So let's just go back.
So if you picked one of the ones that's edited 18.
Just depending on their space. Yeah. Yeah. So there's no download here. I have to issue the rebuild. Yeah. Okay. So, well, this one was. So we're going to just go through that one more time because I want to show you. So if we pick, let's just stick with this because that's what the other examples are. So we'll just take a full known desktop here. I'll just leave most of the stuff default. Now, previously, when I was demoing 11.1, I'd mentioned that one of the things that I really liked about SUSE with regard to the community is that there's a service here called they label it Create It, but more realistically, it should be called something else because it should be called like Find It. But the OpenSUSE has a build service where you can build any package you want. And the community has literally built like pretty much anything you could possibly think of. Someone's built a package for your specific point version number of SUSE. So you just go on here, obscurely hidden in this find the latest open source packages. Like this whole part of needs a little work here. But let's just say, I'm trying to think of the... Okay, let me back up for a second. Because a guy at work just by pure coincidence asked a guy, his name's Bern, asked me how he could get... There's a Cisco emulation software, GNS. He wanted a GNS virtual font. Like, he didn't even know about OpenSUSE. He just said to me, I'd like to run Linux, and like, how could I do it without having to fully install it? And I said, I think I have the perfect thing for you. And this ties in nicely to a demo I have to give. So I went through the steps. I created, you don't see the one I picked here, but it was the one, OpenSUSE 11.1 with the full desktop, the one I just selected. And I just named it Burns GNS Desktop Software. So what I'm trying to get at here is GNS is available. It's not available as part of the stock. It's not part of what's available in OpenSUSE from the install CDs. But through the build service, if I search for GNS, I can see that other people have already compiled these and made them ready, packages already made for OpenSUSE. And under the one-click install system, which is new in the 11.x series of OpenSUSE, you just need to click the one-click install. And it's one click, but maybe some more clicks after. But so you click it, and what you do is you download, it asks you to open up the package manager. You type in your root password. Well, first it tells you what it's about to do. And I'm not going to go through this in detail. It's not really core to my presentation, but I want to show you what it looks like outside of the build, outside of OpenSUSE, outside of SUSE Studio. This is what it looks like. It's one click. You add the repository automatically. You type your root password. It opens up the package management. This is a little bit slow because it has to update the repository. So point being, at the end of this, I will have installed that package and somebody else has made it available. Adjusted this earlier, I thought. Right. Okay, so it's just adding the repository to the package management, then it's going to install that package. So it's not, one click makes it sound a little bit quicker and faster than it really is, because I've already clicked about six times here, but you get the idea. You don't have to go and copy and paste any URLs and manually add repositories. It's more a little more streamlined, automated process.
Well, no, it is one click.
Yeah. Single click. I just want to get past this now, this far into it. Yeah, most distributions are pretty good now for packages. Package management, they're getting better. So let me hope this isn't going to pop Windows in front of mine. So back to the appliance. The point of showing you that was that all of those repositories that are available in the build service, plus any repository anywhere, but the build service is inherently tied into SUSE Studio. And so if I wanted to add a custom package, I can search, you know, for GNS, and it's going to show me, this is the one I've already added. Back in where I was adding repositories, right, I can add a repository, and then I'm not sure what it's searching for there. Let me just get that started. The point being, when I search here, it's going to return the repository, and it also does a rating system in terms of most popular, like ones popular EC on the right. Okay, so I search for GNS. It's telling me that Education 11.1 is compatible with the virtual machine that I've already created, and that it's that particular repository is very popular for adding, right? So I've already added it in this one, but you would just click Add, right? And it would add that repository. So I'm just going to take that one out. So now that I've added Education 11.1, I can go back to the software overview, and if I search for GNS, it's going to show me that same package that we just saw in the build service. So the real point being, and the thing that I like about it the best, is there's so many packages ready-made. If you want to do a custom appliance and it's got requirements for packages that aren't part of the standard OpenSUSE distribution, the chances of you finding it in that build service are like nearly 100%. I've rarely ever found something that I've been looking for. Worst case scenario, I might not find the exact version I was looking for. Like, it may not be the newest version in there. But generally speaking, I've always found what I've been looking for, except for a rare occasion. So now when I search for GNS, it finds that one from that repository that we've added. Again, it's already added in this appliance, but we just have an add button there. Click add. It's just like adding a package, right? And now it's part of that repository. And then the same steps that we went through before, I can customize. Of course, we have a little more. Our default run level now is 5 because this is a known desktop appliance. Again, if we had a MySQL database, we could initialize it here. We could set it to automatically log the user in if we wanted to. We can change our storage settings. Here I've got it set to, you know, a little bit higher, 1 gig, because that's what you ask, and the virtual disk size is 4 gig, swap and so on. Again, we don't have any custom scripts here, but there would be an opportunity to do some custom scripting. I don't need any particular overlay files, but again, that option still would be potentially useful there. And then I could build the image. This one would take a little longer because it's a full-blown desktop and the image is larger. So I've already pre-built this one, just so we don't have to watch that progress bar go by again. But once again, I can run the appliance from the test drive. All right, so screen. Oh, I see right here.
Your appliance DHC will not be able to make SSH and use web.
Looks like it.
You know, full instructions how to SSH to it.
Yeah. It's only going to be your.
Yeah, no kidding.
Your 1 hour botnet build service.
Well, I mean, that's perfect. It takes 5 minutes to build a new bot host. You can run it for an hour,
copy paste,
delete it, build the next one 5 minutes later.
Oh, what could have been? That would have been a smart thing. Okay, so I don't know anything about GNS. And so we're not going to run the full. Oh, I don't think it has it. I also put Wireshark on there, so I know a little bit about Wireshark. I gave him GNS and then Wireshark. The two seem to go together. You might want to. So anyways, there's a custom little appliance we built in a few minutes. It's got, you know, GNS and Wireshark on it. That's much it. Literally just a few mouse clicks, and we have basically our own little custom appliance. I downloaded this, and I made the VMDK for him because he's running Windows with VMware on it. So I gave him the VMDK in a file, and then he just loaded it up in VMware, and he's running virtual machine with a Cisco virtualization, you know, inside of it, which is pretty cool. So if I have doubt, that's exactly what he wanted. Yeah. So I'll just switch to a different desktop here for a second. So I also previously, you saw some of my other demos there. Now I run VirtualBox, not VMware, but I downloaded his VMDK. Now VirtualBox supports VMDK. So I'm not going to. I'll show you really quickly what you do, how you import it. You go to Virtual Media Manager. Something bad must have really just happened. Okay, so in the Virtual Media Manager, right, we can just say add, and wherever we put the VMDK file, in this case it's in my home directory and it's in just an attempt directory, so just select it, it creates a new virtual disk. I've already done it, so I'm not going to repeat it here. It shows up here, so we're all good with that. And then when we create the new appliance, we go through the wizard, test, we select Linux, we select SUSE is in here, OpenSUSE, hit next, give it memory size, boot the hard disk, use an existing one, and we can select the virtual media we just added, right? And then when I say finish, boom, we're done. We're using name one here, but that doesn't cause any problems, I hope. And so now you see when we start it, you'll recognize this from what we just watched in the test drive. It's the exact same virtual appliance. Well, mine's slightly modified now, obviously, because we booted it a couple times. But so other than I didn't do the download here live because it's relatively slow downloading, I guess, again, because of load likely on it. But I just downloaded that file. So the other, now I'm just running that VM. Let me escape the window there. So I'm just going to switch back to this. I'm just going to close this test drive. So the other option when we were building was a USB stick, right? I have, I don't take care if I should or not. File up, feature hand. Okay, so I just installed that GEOS on. That was going back to where I was doing all that clicking, that one click part. Anyways, it finished installing, and so that's all that window is. Okay, so that's really the heart of it. So I really want to show as well the USB part of it. This is where the presentation goes badly off the rails, generally speaking, because I'm not so sure how it's going to work with the projector. That's really the only reason I said that. I can't remember. Okay, so hopefully you can see this on the screen. Okay, so I can't remember which one of these I actually put on the USB, so we'll find out in a second. It's probably the smaller one. So to put it on the USB key, you just use DD. It's just a raw disk image. Actually, it can be put on a hard drive as well. I didn't test it on a hard drive, but it says in UBD it to a hard drive. And so basically, I plug my USB key in, and just do like a DD, IF, USB, live, .raw, OF, whatever the USB device is. So usually it comes up as, it's not plugged in right now, but it'd be dev, SDB, I think, on my system. And I might change the block size just to make it a little faster. But that's it. You just raw, not even uncompressed, you just raw DD the image straight onto the USB key. And that's how you get it on there. So now let's exit out of this, and let's try this. I just hope it comes up on the projector. That'll be the only flaky about this. I may have to press a key console. Oh, so I see nothing here, so you guys are seeing nothing. Oh, that's not. It will be. How do I get out of this now? And then exit. Okay. I think it'll... Oh, no, I don't have that activated yet.
It's not available.
I trigger this one
or it's one or the other.
Okay, I've got the USB plugged in, and we didn't see the BIOS boot screen or whatever, but I just selected change my device. So I'm just going to pick USB, and I really hope it quick. Oh, okay. It's well, it actually looks the same on my screen, so it's the name is too long. It's not that the screen isn't set right. Okay, so that's booting off the USB. So it found the bootloader, and it's now giving me the option. Okay, so this is now booting off the USB. The same build that we did, we just selected a different build option. Instead of BMDK, we selected live USB. And, of course, there's live CD. What was the other one? Zen. You could build it.
Just a little.
You know, I just did this for demo purposes. I can't say I've ever really. And I don't think this one has the desktop. I think this is just proof of concept OS. The one interesting thing about when you build the USB image is that it doesn't know the size of the USB storage that it's going to be on. It creates a compressed disk, boots from the bootloader, it somehow just gets itself booted enough, and then it looks to see, okay, how much storage do I have available here? And then it actually uncompresses and builds the disk to fill the entire size of the USB. And so the first time you boot the USB, it's actually quite a bit slower because it goes through that whole process where it partitions the USB, it formats it, then it uncompresses the image.
Then it does on the fly.
Right. So this resolution's off now, but
how big is the stick?
This one's four gig. It's just not the fast. Yeah, but this is not even a good. I've had this USB for a couple of years already, and it was when I got it, so it's probably not the fastest storage. So now we're booted into the desktop with the USB. I think it's doing. I bet you there's no browser on. Oh, I got this is the Wireshark image. That's what it is. Oh yeah, right. This isn't.
Go.
We should. So just as an idea, right? I mean, I was trying to think of useful little demos you could give there, but let's just say you're working in the world of whatever. I'm not picking on any OS. But let's just say you wanted a Linux desktop with Wireshark on it, and you never know. You're going to go on site, but you need a way to maybe possibly boot a machine and use Wireshark on it without reformatting it or doing a build or installing Wireshark on it, let's just say. Mm-hmm. You could reboot it with the USB key in, and it would come up. You have Wireshark on it. You could possibly diagnose a network problem with it. When you're done, reboot it, unplug the key, and it's back to the system that it was before. So that's just an idea that I came up with. But I'm sure there's firewall, right? Live firewall on a CD, a live CD, the firewall, maybe a USB firewall or whatever. There's a multitude of possibilities, and like I say, to me, really the real strength of it is to being able to draw on that OpenSUSE, the build service, the OpenSUSE build service where you're almost guaranteed to find whatever application you're looking for, already packaged up with all the dependencies ready to go. So if you ever want to do something outside of the main tree, it's so easy to find the software you want. Click on it, you know, go through all those steps, obviously, but then it installs and unless they've made a mistake packaging it, which I haven't run into that, it just runs automatically. So it's really quite, I think, to me, that's one of the main strengths of OpenDRive. It's just so easy to use, and there's so many packages in there. And now SUSE Studio takes that and leverages it, plus giving you this whole appliance builder. So I'd be happy to answer as best I can any questions. I think you now know that I know about it.
So this is just a beta yet?
It's still a closed beta. I didn't double-check that status, but I'm pretty sure it's still closed beta.
The SUSE Studio?
Yeah. They haven't set a date for it. I honestly don't know why they haven't rolled it out, because you've seen how polished it is. Like, it really is. I don't know what else they could possibly be doing to it. Like I say, I think it's more likely because once they open it, they allow anyone to sign the, you know, they can't control their usage, and their usage, they're going to have to spend money on infrastructure, which is supported, I am assuming, by your budget for this. So they have to control it.
Suddenly build through your data center.
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm sure that's what they're trying to avoid. If they open it up, then every time you went in there to build something, it would be so slow, you'd be like, this is terrible. To do the building and so on? Yeah, that's that step that was there where it said download the Kiwi configuration files. You can download everything you need in order to do all that building and everything on your local machine just by clicking that one. But it says the brackets for advanced users are set up, key details of getting that working. But I get the impression it's not as simple as clicking the config file and installing Kiwi, right? You have to have all the packages that you, other forms, in order to be able to put them on the image build, right? So there's probably quite a few that get the environment just right to be able to. I guess if you had one that was very basic and stripped down, maybe there wouldn't be a lot of work to do. You might have the few that you need, and it would copy it onto the image build. I've never gone down that. No, I don't think QuinnoVel is not, that I'm aware of. Like, there are services like hosting the Shipbit company. I'm guessing that you could build your hosted VM on this service and then might copy it up to your hosted service and it would run.
Seems such a natural thing.
Yeah.
No, you just get it rolling. Yeah, on the back end, you can take your password.
You can upload it. I
haven't used it.
I just canceled my account, so I
Well,
with Amazon, you can leg, but buy your persistent storage except from buying your the storage costs. So
ST storage realized that.
They talk about kernels and all that. Disk imager.
But S3 also charges. S3 charges for data transfer. They secure the money grab.
Exactly.
Because they can.
All transfers are money grab. All transfer charges.
Speed of a USB came across and said, what I saw didn't much regular.
And what transfer rate are they?
I couldn't find.
Oh.
But it was up to twice as fast as any other USB stick. And
because they're don't know, and much slower, butter to that, for the, which is still pretty fast, but USB is definitely.
One thing I was tossing around when that thread with regard to the kiosk was whether or not it would be practical to create a studio kiosk. Let's just say a Zen image for argument's sake, can boot into Zen mode with some scripting, fire up the virtual image, let the user use it for half an hour. At the end of the, we still have to solve the other problems, the log in, log out, how to time it and all that, but at the end of the process, once they're logged out, to actually wipe the image and then copy it back into place so that it's brand new, fresh every time.
Use a different brand.
Well, they're... We're only talking like Xen backend in one virtual image, right? So there wouldn't be
what else is in Xen backend?
Well, just like OpenSUSE running in the Xen install mode.
That takes what, 1.8? How much CPU time? That would be the kicker for that.
I would be almost transparent.
If you're a decent machine.
Partly that might be because of the virtualization of some of the hardware drivers, but that can be part of it. For the most part, I've noticed the images are comparable. Well, it depends, too. I mean, we're talking about something that's doing mostly web browsing and stuff. So. It's only running one VM. It's passing. Well, I'm not the Xen expert, but it's passing instructions like right through. Like it's parallel virtualization.
It's
so the kernel image for the Xen part would be wrong. I don't do it a lot. Anyways, it's really just the concept there is not so much designed for performance, but more for you're starting with the perfect image every 30 minutes. Yeah. It wipes the old one and copies the new. I've heard stories that there's corporate websites that are essentially VM, and to avoid against getting hacked, just every 30 minutes they wipe it and put the image back. So even if it gets hacked, it's refreshed in 30 minutes.
Well, in VMware, you don't even have to throw away the delta that it records all
a checkpoint or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called a snapshot.
And then revert at the end of it.
Yeah, it just reverts, which means it discards everything. So copy anything.
All right. Well, if there's no more questions,
that concludes my part of the presentation.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
Okay.